When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Help Me Be Me. I'm your host, Sarah Mae Bates. I'm a writer, director, mom, and a breakup coach with an MAMFT. And this podcast is kind of like a personal relationship in that I talk to you like you're my friend. I provide tools to help you feel more grounded, empowered, inspired, and most of all, help you see yourself. This is aimed at creating more harmony and happiness in the relationship you have with you, so you can better guide your life and also be better to those you love. Take what helps and leave the rest. This is not a diagnosis for treatment. If you're really struggling, call your local emergency services. Hi, everybody. It's Sarah Mae Bates, and this is episode 222. It's actually, I think, 300 and something, but the numbering got weird at a certain point. I was doing power-ups, and then I was doing regular episodes, but either way, this is a special episode because I have been podcasting for a little over 10 years, and that is pretty nuts to me. Shout out to Casey, who wrote to me and told me that that was true. I didn't even notice it, but this is an appropriate number because I don't know if anybody follows Pam Grout, but she has the 222 Foundation, which I'm going to put a link to in the show notes of this episode in case you want to make a donation. It's an organization dedicated to expanding the consciousness of the earth, and also it's in honor of her daughter, Taz, and it's a magical number, and so it's weird, and of course, this is the 10-year marker episode, 222, so I really wanted to take stock and look back on, I guess, what those 10 years means to me in terms of the themes, and what it really has become and what it started as. And so it's really focused on knowing thyself and feeling grounded and resourced in that self, being guided by making decisions from your values and not your weaknesses. And if you're not there yet with something in your life, take heart. Sometimes we need processing for all of us to arrive somewhere. So if something isn't happening for you, there might be a part of you that has yet to arrive. And just give yourself the grace that is organic time. And thank you all for growing alongside me in this journey. And for those of you who have been listening to this podcast for this many years, you know that I recorded a lot of them in my car on my lunch break, the beginning, hence the insane amount of car horn sounds in the background. And you also know that I have brought up babies on this show. So you'll hear like little coos and cries while I was on my maternity leave, which is quite wonderful. So just so you know, when I first started podcasting, I really got overly fixated on metrics of success. And I was really focused on what other people were doing and what I should do. And I think immediately it started to lose steam for me. And I realized I had given away the soul to something external, which is the quickest way to gain a lack perspective. When we start relying on something outside of ourselves to tell us of something's merits, it is to resign ourselves to a game of catch the laser dot, which I can tell you from my border collie's experience was a path to instant insanity and unrest. So if you're doing that to yourself in any shape or form, just take note. Come back into a metric that is internal. What does your success mean to you? What does it mean to your values? What is your why? I think it was easy with a podcast to get fixated on numbers. And so one thing I did very early on, I made these little slogans for my bulletin board in my kitchen just to guide me and remind me to come back to my own truth, which was my values and what I need to focus on to be happy, and also for this to come from a genuine place where it's fueled by me. And that is limitless energy. If I can really allow it to come from that authentic inspiration, then I can do, I know exactly what I want to say always, if I can allow it to come from that place. And so I still have, you know, those little cutouts or of slogans or whatever from 10 years ago. One of them was, if you can help one person, you are a success. And another one was, do what you can with what you've got and you'll get where you need to go. Another one was, it is a gift to give your greatest gift. And only you can say what you have to say. So those things, I had to really reset and allow them to be my true compass, not money, not popularity, not numbers. And that has been the only way I know how to do this, because it comes from deep within. It's something that I am moved to say. And as I speak it, I hope it sounds like I'm talking to you, because I am. And the energy is unique to this medium because it's very intimate, and it's because it's coming from that authentic place. So if you've known me these last 10 years, then you pretty much know me. But as I look backwards, one thing I recognize is the sum of this podcast, really what it was when I started it, was I really want to give this gift I had been given by my therapist. She saved my life by showing me how to heal myself and also showing me my own power. And through that work, I was able to align my actions with what I wanted. Before that, I was kind of acting against myself. I couldn't understand what was happening. I couldn't understand why I felt powerless to stop my vices. And I think over the years, that has been the consistent thread in what I've preached. As you know, there are so many different topics, but I think the consistent thread is, I want you to grow a love and friendship with yourself, because from there, everything you need to do in your life becomes clear. And so that is why I'm kind of calling this episode a version of Know Thyself, which I at one point was going to get in a script tattoo, like right here on my forearm. And then I saw somebody on the street with the exact tattoo I was going to get. And I was like, okay, maybe I'm not going to do that. But I have an imaginary one. And I think, you know, it's from the Temple of Delphi. Super cool slogan. Know thyself. I think that is the greatest gift that one can gain in life. And so this is really about what that means to me and how we can come home to ourselves. I think it's interesting, the word passion, what drives us. In Latin, it also means suffering. And I think that's apt, because whatever has caused our suffering is the thing we thirst to gift to others. It brings us endless healing and joy to gift our particular gift to others. And so I get a lot of joy from this, what I get to share. So with that, here are some tools on the topic of connecting to yourself, growing that core connection and importance in the face of relationships and also social pressure. And in this episode, there are two parts. There's a what and a how, the tools. Part one, the what. I think it would start with a lack of connection to self, like a feeling of ambivalence, maybe feeling lost or feeling vague or feeling wishy-washy, like we don't know what we think or want, or maybe you actively just don't like yourself. Like we feel bad about that self. Maybe we don't know that, you know, we do feel bad about ourselves, but our actions show that to us via how we treat our body or how we treat the part or the partners we choose, the situations we choose, the friendships we choose. For context, I was very much alienated from myself. I had no connection to my gut. I was kind of living from the neck up, is what I would call it. And that in that I was reacting to all the things in front of me and living by kind of following the path that was right in front of me. So if somebody else chose me, I was like, really? Me? Okay, cool. Wow. But I wasn't guiding my life from a sense of what was right for me based on my gut. Like I was reacting to problems as best I could, but I wasn't guiding my life based on wisdom. And that meant I was always surprised by what was occurring in my life. And I was unable to read a lot of warning signs. It's like the gut was just cut off. And so whenever, you know, I had a bad relationship or a bad friendship, I was constantly kind of like, huh, why can't I have happy, good things? Why can't I have rewarding, positive things? And it's because like the gates, the filters were not set up. I was not filtering out all of the riffraff. And so the beginning of any change to a situation like that is acceptance of a problem and noticing the problems and registering like, ow, that hurts. And that can be scary and hard to do, just to acknowledge it and accept it, because oftentimes when we don't know how to solve a problem, we feel like it's impossible. Like, if I can't see the solution, there must not be a solution. But know that if you cannot see the solution to your particular problem, it's not your problem yet. Don't worry about that part. Just start exactly where you are. So I invite you to welcome some form of acceptance or embrace something in your life today, right now. What is something that is nagging at you in the form of fear or worry that you can instead invite in, like really embrace 100% and digest? And take heart in that process, because when we have a hunger or a thirst or a nagging thought, even something that's bugging us and causing us pain, like a conflict, these are all opportunities for us to grow. Like whatever the growth you want to make, you can. It just starts with a hunger and a longing and a pain often of some sort. And that is the first step, is just to acknowledge and accept it. Like, this thing is not aligned with me. This doesn't fit me. And once we accept that and we own that, that as being where we are, that's like we're in a video game and we have press that challenge accepted button, and it becomes real. It becomes our clay, like the stuff we are molding in front of ourselves and working on it. And from there, it's on its way. It's like an organic path of unfolding. And know that we don't do it alone. We are not isolated. We share it with others, with the world, and then energy focuses around it. Just like any process of creation, it takes on a life of its own. It is guided by something outside of us, and the universe helps us. And what I want to emphasize for anyone struggling with lament or self-blame, we can't be somewhere until we are authentically there. And if we want something, it's one thing, but we need the core strength to align behind that thing. And sometimes we have conflicting feelings around a topic, or we might need help to align in the face of manipulation, as in leaving a toxic relationship, or we might also need time to process to authentically get to somewhere where we are aligned. Therapy really helps us to untangle all of the what I would call intolerable facets to an experience. And when we don't understand ourselves, or we have opposing feelings around something that has happened to us, therapy can help kind of sort that and see how one thing betrayed part of ourselves and the other thing was helping ourselves and make sense of those. So net-net, to sit in lament or self-pity or blame is useless, and it's actually counterproductive because it's a version of masturbation in that it's selfish. It's a decision to wallow and be inactive and remain unchanged. So in many ways, it honors the dysfunction, not the future. And I think when we have shame or regret over a past self, that is where we have hurt ourselves. And that is what we must correct and heal and give compassion to. We have to notice like, ow, that really hurts me because I am not that way. That is where I acted against myself and who I truly am. And that is how we write the future. And you create the future no matter the past. I very strongly believe that. That is a quote that we put on a plaque on this room that we decorated for some housing recently. And I chose that quote because I believe it to be true. And my goal for you is to steer you with my work toward your gut and connecting to your gut and really your intuition and listening inward to your truth and respecting that truth no matter what it is. Sometimes it's inconvenient. Sometimes it means we have to move on from something in our lives that's, we're going to be sad about it. If we can really respect the truth of what we want and act based on that, you can be guided by your values and not your weaknesses. And oftentimes, what is popular is not in alignment with our values. All that glitters is not gold. So in moments when you feel hurt, alienated, unpopular, left out, conflicted, first things first, come back home to a wisdom of self. Like, what do you hold to be cool and important and something you want in your life? Like, what do you hold yourself to in terms of treatment of others? So this episode is really about what I think of as coming home to self and like tools for that in particular in the face of social, cultural pressures, as well as in relationships. So with that, here is part two, the tools. But first, a brief word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Fearless Finance. Finances can be so overwhelming and stressful, especially if there's volatility, like an unexpected change in your life, job change, there's the economy changing. I think one of the things that is super important is to have help with financial planning. Fearless Finance is a convenient way to get financial advice without the high fees or commitments that come with traditional financial advisors. I recall not even knowing like where to find a financial advisor or what a financial advisor was. Fearless Finance's mission is to make advice affordable and accessible. So you meet with your planner virtually, they charge by the hour, you only pay for the time you use, down to a quarter hour. And their planners meet you where you are on your financial journey. There's no judgment. You could be paying off student loans or trying to buy a house, or maybe you just want to make sure that your finances are good and they can answer your questions. There's no question that is too small and there's no problem that is too big. I think it's one of those things that everybody could benefit from, even just for peace of mind, but especially to just make a plan and get clarity. Visit fearlessfinance.com today. You can chat with a planner for free to make sure it's a good fit, and you'll get $50 off your first planning meeting when you use the code HELPMEBEME. That's fearlessfinance.com. This episode is brought to you by AquaTrue. I legit love AquaTrue. It is one of my favorite products in the world. It is a purifier. It has 4-stage reverse osmosis purification, and it's a countertop purifier. They also have below counter purifiers, but the countertop purifiers work with no installation or plumbing, and they remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters. The water tastes fantastic. Do you know that PFAS are found in almost 45% of US tap water? AquaTrue is certified to remove these contaminants. And they have water purifiers to fit every kind of home, from the installation-free countertop purifiers to the high-capacity undersink options. They even have a Wi-Fi connected purifier and mineral boost options. AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and it even makes a great gift. Today, my listeners receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to aquatrue.com. That's AquaTrue.com and enter code HELPMEBEME at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue water purifier when you go to AquaTrue and use promo code HELPMEBEME. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. I used to suffer from really bad allergies, especially during high school, and it was pretty much to the point where I was just taking tons of allergy medication every day. I would have loved to have Astapro. Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray, and it starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. It's full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. I use Astepro, and you should too. Have you tried Astepro? Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astepro and go today. A-S-T-E-P-R-O allergy.com. Astepro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. All right, the first tool I'm calling Origin Check-In. So this is a journal reflection or perhaps something to do with a pad of paper and some colored pencils. I wanted to invite you to ask yourself, what are your original values? Like, what is something that meant something to you, that is part of who you are, that is not created by the external? And what motivated you as a little one? Like, was it playing make-believe? Was it to perform? Was it to heal and mother? Was it to move mountains and lead? So this assignment is just to spend some time reliving some play-based memories and then draw a picture of one particular moment. And if nothing is coming to you and this feels like not really a part of like who you are as a person, alternately, I invite you to look through childhood photos and find one that brings about a strong positive feeling. And just, let's say it's the photo. Look into that feeling and that memory of that person. And like, what motivated you? What made you feel excited and happy and safe and like your truest form of yourself? And what is the feeling that that person is having? Like, what is, in that little person's experience, what would they get lost in? And what did they love to do? Past this little art project, I invite you to actually write a values list, like a passage in your journal. What lights you up from within? And what brings meaning and purpose to your life? Is it to make others happy? Is it to heal and inspire others? Is it to feel connected to something higher, like honor legacy? And I would encourage you to get lofty with this. Like, it's easy to reduce ourselves and get smaller and more practical and more normal. I would just go into the essence, the heightened essence of your spirit. All right, the next tool, breaking out of the bubble. The best way to break out of the bubble of social pressure is to, I think, become aware of it and notice its strong current. Social pressure is very powerful in how we digest the world and our sense of ourselves. And I think there are versions of what I would call reality show constructs in our everyday life all over the place, like in our workspace, our community, our high school, our friend group. And I think of it as kind of like you're living in a fishbowl and you are going to define yourself based on the cast of that fishbowl. And then you're going to extrapolate all of the truths about your life and yourself based on the dynamics that manifest in that particular bowl. So, tips for counteracting this, if you're finding that it's kind of sweeping you away, in a way, like taking over your value scale for what's important in some way. A, notice it. Journal about it. What is the feeling of lack that is being created? What is confusing me into a desire to please or win at this game of that has unwinnable rules? B, step back, meaning deliberately become a fish in the ocean. Like, what do I mean by that? Literally circle in larger waters, waters of a larger city, more diverse circles, foreign cities, cultured areas that are completely disconnected from this construct, whatever it is. And the perspective you get when you are in the sea of all different people, all different, you know, types of thinking is it can return you back to your own scale, your own open scale for yourself. Versus when we get in the fishbowl, things get very reality show. They get really reduced, really heightened, really bizarre. They don't make sense. They have their own terms. And so I think it's in the face of that, if that's kind of taking over your sense of self or your sense of right and wrong, it is of the utmost importance to come home to the church of your own existence. And if you're unsure of what that even means, I think it's really helpful to recreate just some powerful figures or plot points from your origin. Because we have to really triangulate to those points and unplug from the social pressure and like really reset, really reorient. Like, what is important to me? What do I actually care about? How do I treat other people? How do I want to be treated? What spheres do I feel safe and rewarded? And this origin work or triangulation work becomes like a safe room that you love, that you feel relieved in, and it's one that you can curate in your mind. It's an awesome one, and I think the more inner work you do, the more real and grounded it becomes. I recall being a teenager. I switched to a very large school, and it was really scary, and I was in a lot of pain, visceral pain, like emotional pain every day. It was just like a lot of cruelty and a lot of like, you know, violence and threats of violence and lots of, it was just like to be in that environment really reminds me of what it can be like to exist in different reality show constructs where you're kind of, your humanity is removed from you via these like artificial constructs. So if you can't get a sense of your own importance, and if you feel like you are trying to win at somebody else's game, that is a sign you need to make unplugging important. And to unplug from the construct of importance that has been manufactured based on whatever particular reality show you have become a part of. And if it's taking over your mind and your sense of self, I would say it's also a sign you're sensitive. And if that's true, it's even more important that you take steps to continually unplug and ground in your self, your origin self, and cleanse the fear. All right, next tool, read A Giving Tree. The Giving Tree. The Shel Silverstein book, children's book. I would call it an adult's book as well. If you don't have it, download it. I just want you to look through that book and read it, experience it. I think it's one of those works that feels direct to soul, from soul, meaning it feels spontaneous, it feels uninhibited. And I adore that book because it has merit, it's widely appreciated, it's, you know, popular, but it's also so raw and authentic. I mean, it's like, I think when I read that book, I remind myself of my own creative merits. And so if you're getting lost in the show of, you know, what everybody else likes and what is popular and what is perfect or what is cool and like what we're supposed to do, all of these like constructs that we kind of get sucked into, I think returning back to an awareness that like no matter what you do and whatever you create and whatever you have to say, that is valid and pretty fucking awesome. Just because you expressed it. And if you are feeling like that isn't important or valid, really come back to seeing somebody who is doing their dance without inhibition and appreciate that and get back to that energy and that knowledge in yourself. Get back to your own spirit. And when we overcorrect, we oversterilize, we make ourselves smaller. We make ourselves neutered. We remove what is great about us. So yeah, read The Giving Tree. All right, the next tool, worth work. This is for relationships in particular. I think the best thing we can do in relationships is show up grounded in ourselves and show up fully weighted in our own beliefs and ask them to show up as well. And I think a lot of the time it's some part of us, if we don't feel fully worthy, some part of us wants to control the outcome of a relationship by pleasing and going into somebody else's shoes and going into somebody else's thoughts and feelings and doing a dance that we think will make them happy. And when we do that, we remove, that's not respectful. We are removing an opportunity for them to feel valuable and for them to show up for us. So I bring this up as an invitation to ask you if that is something you are doing currently for yourself and others. Are you showing up fully as you in your own shoes? Are you respecting the truth of where you stand and what you believe? Or are you controlling others by altering yourself and suffocating, reducing what you ask of them, reducing what you show of yourself? And if anything's ringing any bells as I say that, I invite you to also journal about this, like to take a look into your perception around relationships. When, where, and how did you learn about love in relationships? Just think about the origins of your beliefs around love and relationships. And I think one way to do that is to journal about what were the norms in your family of origin? What was the paradigm when you started learning about relationships? What were the rules of those relationships? What did a partner do with another partner? Past that, I invite you to examine the impact of those rules on what you view as the way your relationship works. Like, what are the rules that you perceive in how your relationship works? More journal prompts. What were the rules that you were taught about what you need to do to get love in relationships? Talking family of origin. Next prompt. What were the cultural messages you received growing up? And then last prompt, how can you continually learn about your own value and add to that definition for yourself, but also in the context of your relationships? Like, what's a step you need to take? What's a change you need to make? Is it more time just invested in yourself? Maybe that's it. Okay. And then the next tool, unpopular filter. I think one thing that is super important to do if you are feeling left out, you're feeling unloved, if somebody is unkind, first give them the benefit of the doubt. Assume you have no idea what they're going through, why they're doing what they're doing. Assume that it's pretty primitive, but it's probably coming from a place of a place they didn't learn skills as a kid, a place where they were not given a sense of etiquette and value as a kid. And that's a disservice, but it's basically a lack of emotional skills. A lot of people lack emotional skills just based on their upbringing. And then past that, ask yourself, who wants that in their life? Like, would you be happier if you had this person, whoever it is, in your group, if you had to interact with that person constantly? The truth is no, you would not be happier. And I think we forget that when somebody is like shunning us or we feel left out, somehow we're not achieving some social standard. A part of us takes it on ourselves as like, I'm not good enough. But in reality, let's flip a switch. Let's imagine you're just plugged into that circle. You are a part of that circle. You're a part of that person's life, whoever it is. Would you be happier? No. You would be it. It'd be the same reality, but more intense and more unfun. It would not be good. So just, I think we don't realize that from a moment of wound. We're like, I do want this though, but why don't they like me? You don't want that though. That would not make you happy at all. The truth is showing you, you're not aligned with this thing, this person, whatever it is. All right, the next tool, wisdom loves openness. This is for I'm handing you a little Sunday comic. There's a brain that's holding hands with a heart, and one is wisdom and one is openness, the heart's openness. I believe that when we enter this world, we have, you know, kind of an inclination, an energy, an inner knowing, things resonate with us based on our built-in wiring. And then we have all of this stuff that is taught to us via our parents, via school, via all of the different places we interact with culture. And then through our lives, we decide what we believe, what based on our lived experiences, and also what resonates with us. It's like certain things feel true to us. What rings those internal bells of, you know, resonance? I had zero beliefs most of my life, like zero. I was always like, why are all these people doing this weird shit in this church? And it didn't make sense to me at all. And part of that was I was brought up in different religions. And then I also had lots of trauma in high school. I desperately wanted to have a belief system and some sort of spirituality after that. But now as an adult, now that I am strong enough to be open to all things, to all thinking, all theories, all schools of everything, it's like now I can receive. And all of the beliefs I have slowly just become apparent to me. They've become true because they resonate. And so I'm putting this tool in here just to encourage you to remain open to receiving new twinklings of resonance. And by that, I mean like it's that energy of, that makes total sense. Wow, weird. What if that were true? I mean, that kind of could be true. What a beautiful and amazing idea. And if you get those little twinklings, just simply follow that thread and act as if. And then energy will just flow toward us in that area. I think when we grow rigid or judgy, we get very narrow-minded. We get very black and white. It's like, well, I need proof and I need, but this doesn't mean this and then that person. It's like, as soon as we get reductive, we're being guided by fear, which is not the most intelligent self we have. We're just closing off to others and possibility. So as a rule of thumb, I think to be the happiest and the most connected version of yourself, it's just like, act as if, stay open, and try things on. And if they resonate with you, if you feel something, it's because it's true for you. It's true for you on a deeper level. That is how I think we build our own sense of spirituality and our own truth. And that is a powerful thing. Those are my tools. I know they're all like completely opposite in all different spheres, but I hope you got something out of them. And before I close, I want to thank all of my sponsors, my Patreon sponsors, my monthly donors, anyone who has the means. Donations really help out the show. If you don't have the means, I totally understand. If you could share it with someone, that helps me as well. And in closing, we move through one day at a time, and everything we experience during that day has the potential to be totally opposite what we expect. And I say that just to remind you to never fear and never forget to have hope. Hope is rational. Never forget that 180 power. And by that, I mean the ability for one person, one event, one text, one reach out, one interaction, one instance to completely change how you feel about the rest of your life. And that exists at all times. So always, always have hope. And if you are going into a superstitious feeling right now and you're like, well, what if something bad happens? Like, yeah, I get it. That's natural. We all do that. Your brain wants to control and predict pain. But just breathe through that. Step back and come home to a feeling of trust in your body. And by that, I mean relax the gut, relax the shoulders, arch the back, breathe deeply, and just trust. How do we make great decisions, even really, really big, scary decisions? We don't do it from anger or fear, and we just do it from a place of acceptance and trust. And if you're not acting on something in your life, that is information in itself. Just your actions will show you where your heart lies. And so if you're not acting, it just means it's not baked yet. Our bodies tell us where we stand on anything. But be able to be guided by your highest truth and your aspirations, not your fear, not your self-blame, and let go of what will be. It's already baked. I think of us all as these oak seeds of potential, and all we really have to do in this world is just grow. We just want to grow unfettered by fear and resistance and that need to control what will be. If I got to control my life, I would always end up shorthanded. It's true. So let go. And I send you my love and smile.